Good to see everybody. Who's excited to be at church today? Come on, make it loud. There's something in this room. I hope there's something in your room at your campus. I want to say hello to all of our locations. If you didn't know what we are, one church across multiple locations. We have five in San Diego and one in Oahu. And hey, we have new people. We have guests. We have friends and family that come every single week. Let's clap our hands, greet them, thank them for coming. God bless you. We love that you've come today to come and just experience all that God has in store for you. Shout out to Youth Takeover. Was the youth good today in worship, handing out cards at the door, saying hello everywhere? I remember when they used to ask me to be a part of Youth Takeover, and now I'm just younger than other people. I'm not youthful. I'm going to be 42 this week, so, you know, I've crossed that threshold. Come on, somebody. 42. Let's go. Hey, we're going to pray for the service. We got a great day in store. Got a lot of words today. I hope you brought your Bible with you. A lot of scripture to go through, a lot to unpack. But Easter is upon us. We are 2 weeks away from Easter. Did you know that? When you leave today, you're all going to get one of these cards. If they don't give it to you, please ask somebody for it. It's an invite card. And our hope is that we would fill this church, fill this house, this place of worship, with people who don't know the Lord yet. And that's your friends, your family, your coworkers, people that you meet at the stores. And so be praying about who that person is. Everybody say, just one. You have at least one, just one person, if not multiple just ones that you can invite. And then be praying for them. And then say, hey, here's an invite card. I'd love to see you at Easter. It's going to be a breakthrough day in a couple of weeks. So that's exciting to look forward to. Let's pray. But before we do, here's what I want to pray for: the service, what God's going to do in your life this morning. But also, if you've been tracking, there are great floods happening in Oahu right now. And we have a campus in Oahu, right there near Waikiki Beach. And we're praying with you, Pastor Mark and Crystal. And God is using your campus as a place for other people from other churches that haven't been open the last 2 weeks to come and worship. And so we're with you. We're praying for you, asking God to protect the homes and to be with the people that need water, need supplies. And so we're going to do our best to tell you more about how we can partner with them. But what we can do now is pray. Would you join me and pray for God to bring relief? Jesus, thank you for what you're doing in our church, what you're going to do today. We lift up our friends and family in Oahu. We thank you for the leadership of Pastor Mark and Crystal, and as they are holding and linking arms with the people on the grounds there in Oahu. Lord, protect them. We love the rain. We need the rain. But Lord, would you bring the waters down so that the houses can be protected, the people can drive and get to work, the children can be safe. And so we bless them. We ask that you speak today. Holy Spirit, speak through me. May your word come alive in our hearts and make us more and more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are 2 weeks away from Easter, which means that next week is Palm Sunday. And I'll be preaching on Palm Sunday, and it's the story of Jesus coming into town, riding on a colt, and the city has been stirred, and they're putting palm branches, and they're yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now. That's next Sunday. That begins Holy Week. That gets us to the cross. But the story, before the story, is today. And that's the story of Lazarus. And Jesus calls Lazarus out of a tomb. He is dead, and he calls him back to life. And the city is now kind of rumbling and murmuring and going, who's this guy that has power over dead people? And if anything, this story reminds us that if Jesus can speak to a tomb, he has the power to speak to any area of your life. He has resurrection power in his words, and it's in his name, Jesus. And so I love this story. If you have your Bible with you today, would you go to John chapter 11, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are the synoptic gospels. That means they're same. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John. John is where we're going to be, John chapter 11. And by the way, we're always going to put the scriptures up on the screen for you to read. But I would encourage you, get in the habit of bringing your Bible. And get in the habit of opening your Bible at home, or having one in the car. At least have it on your phone. There are free Bible apps, because we just want to be people that don't just kind of hear it on Sunday, but that you are reading this and going through it on your own through the week, and that we're just feeding on God's word daily. Can I get an amen from everybody? Amen. 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 John chapter 11, the story of Lazarus, starting in verse 1. Here's how it starts. Now, a man named Lazarus. What was his name? Lazarus. He was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. That's later. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." I like how they try to butter Jesus up a little bit, try to butter up the Savior, like the one that you love, Lord, the one that you hang out with, the one that you work out with, the one that you love, he's sick. He's sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, somebody say so. So, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." This is confusing because it says he loves them so. And the part that should be written there is Jesus loves them so he ran to go see Lazarus to heal him before he died. That's what it's supposed to say. If we were writing the story, we would write, Jesus loved Martha, loved her sister and Lazarus, so he went and healed Lazarus so he didn't die. That's what we would write, but it doesn't say that. It says, so he stayed there 2 more days. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? My son is a builder. I think he'll be an engineer as he gets older. He's a crafter, and he likes to design and architect things. And so it's very common that when I come home from work, every day almost, he goes, "Dad, I want to build something. Here's what I want to do. I want to build something." He wants to take apart his RC cars and make new little motors out of them. And this week, when I came home one day, he said, "Dad, I want to build a go-kart out of cardboard," which what he's really saying is, "Dad, make me a go-kart out of cardboard." That's what he's really saying. And so we spent a couple afternoons going around the neighbors' houses, knocking on their door to see if they'd give us their Amazon packages, their cardboard boxes. And so we collected enough cardboard and we got together in the garage and we started building, and I had him sit there in kind of like a go-kart position. And then I would take the box and I'd put it on his head and cut the hole out, and he'd go, "Dad, that's not right. I need arms over here, and I need it to be longer, and it's itching me in the neck." And about halfway through the middle of the project, I could tell that he was growing impatient. And he looks at it and he kind of goes, "Dad, what's that? Like, what is this? I don't think this is how you should be doing it." And he's growing impatient, and he didn't like the way and the length and the time and the shape that it looked like in the middle of the project. And I had to tell my son, "Son, you got to hold on. I'm doing something." Now, here's the spoiler alert in our story of Lazarus. Lazarus dies, but Jesus brings him back to life. In other words, it all makes sense in the end, but here's the big principle that we're pulling out today is that even when life doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't mean God can't make sense of it. You gotta hold on because God is doing something even when it doesn't look like he's doing it right. "God, what are you doing? That's not how I would have done it. God, how come you didn't go when I told you to go? That's not how I told you to go." And he's saying today, "I need you to hold on because I'm making something out of this. I'm doing something in you, in them, and on your behalf." We all have a Lazarus, don't we? We all have something. Maybe you don't have somebody who's sick, maybe you do, but we all have something in our life that looks unhealthy, or we have something in our life that you need God to move on. And maybe you haven't been desperately crying out like our story here, but you're saying, "God, you need to help a brother out because I need some help today. Have you seen my bank account? Somebody in San Marcos? Have you seen," like, "Why are you calling out San Marcos? Like, they like they don't work." It's like, I know you guys work hard. But somebody has that story. Somebody has something, a Lazarus situation where it's unhealthy, it looks like it's falling apart, and it could be, maybe it's a relationship. You walked into the day and you're not holding your spouse's hand, you've been fighting all week, and it's on the edge of, "We're almost done. And I need this thing to be resurrected, and only God can do it. God, why aren't you doing something about my situation?" We all have a Lazarus story. I don't know what yours is, I just know we all have one. And it sounds maybe something like this: "God, this situation in my life is falling apart. It's out of control. Why aren't you doing something about it? Why aren't you doing anything about it? Don't you see me?" And that's the heart that this story begins with. And I want to keep reading in verse 17. It says, on his arrival, when Jesus gets there, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. How many days? He's been there 4 days. He hung back 2 days. But I thought he loved him, so shouldn't he ran there? But no, he stayed back 2 days, and by the time he gets there, it's been 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have said something like that to God before? God, if you had done something, if you had been here, if you had paid attention to my prayer. And she says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, somebody say even now, even now. If I had to give this message a title, I would call it even now. Because Martha is saying, Lord, had you been here, he wouldn't have died, but I believe that even now, in the middle of this story, you can do something. And I think God is looking for a church that can say, Lord, even now, in the middle of my broken relationship, you can do a miracle. Even now that I've been applying to schools, and I know we're in the fourth quarter, and high school students, you're wrapping up as a senior, and you're applying to schools, and you've been getting just, you know, a bounce back. You're not accepted, letter after letter, and you're saying, God, no, but even now I'll worship you. Even now I'll give you praise. And so she says, even now, God, he'll give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you, Jesus, are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. Now, I think that's a word for somebody. We're just kind of going line by line right now, but I think that's a word for somebody that the Lord is saying, hey, I'm here in the room and I'm asking for you. I think the Lord wants to say that to somebody today, that Jesus is here and he's calling on you. The Lord is here. He's been looking for you. It's somebody at one of our campuses. And you've been skirting around and you've been avoiding the word. Someone gave you a prophetic word. You go, no, I don't want to receive that. Don't put that on me. And he brought you to church today to hear that the teacher is here and he's asking for you. He wants to speak to you about some things. You got to hold on because he's doing something. And pick up in verse 32, go a few verses down, John 11, 32. It says, when Mary reached the place, and now she's showing up. She reached the place where Jesus was and saw him. She fell at his feet and said, Lord, here it is again. If you had been here, if you had done it my way, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and he was troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. By the way, if you have a hard time memorizing scripture, let's start with that one right there. Jesus wept. It's a full sentence and a full verse. Jesus wept. What did you learn in church today? I memorized the word of God. Well, what did you learn? Jesus cried. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor. So she really wants him to be healed, but she knows he was funky before he died, and now it's 4 days later, and I gotta believe his feet are that much more funky, Lord. Should we really do this now? There's a bad odor, Lord, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Hallelujah. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out with his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and the cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. What a powerful story. Can we just thank the Lord right there? Hallelujah. Resurrection power in the name of Jesus. Powerful ending, powerful story. It feels good because we get to the benefit, we get the benefit of kind of zooming out and going, oh, I know the beginning and the end. I get to read the story in its entirety, but the characters, watch this, involved in the story had to live it and experience it in the same way that you are experiencing and living your own Lazarus story. You don't know the end, and they didn't know the end. They had to hold on, and you have to hold on. But there's our tension to go, Lord, I don't know if I can hold on any longer. Why aren't you showing up? If you had been here, if you had just answered the prayer that I prayed, I wouldn't be in this situation. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. We hold on and we hope. I want to give you 3 points to remember when you're trying to hold on that come from this story that I think are helpful. Now, here's the first thing. We have to remember that his delay is often part of his design. I don't want to hold on, Lord. I just want what I want. If you had just been here, it's been 4 days, but we got to remember that his delay is often part of his design in your life, in their life, in the situation. In verse 20, it says, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lazarus died 4 days ago. Mary doesn't even come out. She's sad and she's mad. You don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been mad at God before? And we're gonna sing some more today at the end, so hang out with us. And we worshiped in the beginning, and man, we were in the presence of God where I'm standing this morning during worship. And we're, you know, God, you are greater. God, you are higher. And we're just, it's all positive. Like miracle worker. And I believe in miracles, but I also believe in Monday. And it's hard on Monday. And I got Mary in the back going, you go ahead, Martha, and do miracles. I'm feeling like Monday. And I'm frustrated, and I'm mad, and I don't like what's going on, and I can't make sense of this thing. If you had just showed up, but it's been 4 days, and Martha does what we do, and God, had you healed them when I wanted you to, I wouldn't be here. God, had you done it in the way that I would have written it and designed it, I wouldn't be here. And I've been kind of living a little bit of this in my own life, and maybe you've experienced this where, you know, someone spoke something over you, or you've been praying a prayer and you're believing for it, and here you are in the beginning, and you know what the end result looks like, but then there's a spot in the middle that I've been living through. Maybe you can relate to this, called the messy middle. Anybody? The messy middle? Man, it's messy. It's cloudy. I don't always like the way it feels in the middle. I'll share a light story with you. Light story, then I'll make it relevant to where we're going. But I've been in the process of growing my hair out recently. And I get haircuts about once every 2 weeks, sometimes every week, just because I like it nice and tight and sharp. And I get a burst fade, okay? I get a burst fade. That's what I get. And I feel super blessed by my barber. Shout out to my barber, Eric, down in Chula Vista Barbershop Heaven. He's a Christian. He loves Jesus. Comes to our church often. So he hooks me up on the regular. But recently, a couple months ago, I decided I want to grow my hair out. And I came to Eric. I said, hey, man, what are all the young people doing? Okay, listen, I'm going to be 42. Okay, just trying to stay youthful, but appropriately youthful. You know what I mean? Because there's a point where it's like you're trying to look youthful, and it's like, bro, you just look dumb. Stop it. Stop it. You shouldn't wear that. You shouldn't be saying that. It's just, you've gone too far. But there's a sweet spot. And so he goes, yeah, man, let me hook you up. And so I've been growing my hair out. And there was a point where I started where Vanessa, it's not that she didn't approve, but she didn't get it. And she goes, what are you doing? You didn't ask me. You didn't tell me. You just showed up. And there's just new hairs growing out. And I have curly hair, but I don't think she's ever seen my hair this curly before. And when I was 18, I had this fro. It was awesome. It was blonde, the whole thing. I was doing Justin Timberlake, bye, bye, bye. I had the whole, I was like 2000. Graduated high school in 02, just like, you know, I had the fro. And so I've been growing it out. Track with me. Here we go. Somewhere along the middle where my hair was forward, I wanted to put it back. And Eric, my barber, said, you have to train your hair. I go, what do you mean? He said, you got to get the product and you got to start moving it the other way. And my hair, for like a whole week and a half, it wouldn't go back. It just went up. Okay? Why? Because I was in the messy middle. And I was tempted to cut it. There was multiple times where he had to talk me off the ledge. Like, bro, just wear a hat all week. Like, you can show up and host on stage. Just wear a beanie. It's no big deal. But it was the process that I was wrestling with. It was the training of the messy middle that I didn't like. So here's the application spiritually for us. God is in charge and responsible of the outcome. You and I are in charge and responsible of the process. So is he late 4 days or 4 years? No, he's on purpose and you're in process. He's on purpose. He's not late 4 days. His delay is often part of his design because he's doing something in you where he's training you and he's refining you and he's getting them ready and he's getting it ready. And so we have to go, God, it feels like delay, but I know it's your design. I gotta believe he's getting glory and it's working out for my good. So can I be a person that worships God in the messy middle and not just when I get the miracle? Will I worship him in the middle when it's messy and life is going straight up? I don't like it. I want to go back. I don't like where you're bringing me. If you had just done it my way, I'm sitting in this in between and I know what it looks like and I'm praying and the prayers just keep hitting back as if no one's on the other end, God. And he's going, I'm doing something, hold on. And when I struggle to hold on, I gotta remember his delay isn't always delay, it's a part of his design. So can you worship him there? Or do you need the miracle to be a worshiper? I worship on Miracle Sunday, and I worship on Monday too. Here's the second thing I got to remember. I remember that he meets us in our pain before he moves in our situation. I don't want to let go of Jesus just because I don't have the breakthrough yet. I got to remember that he meets us in our pain before he moves in our situation. In verse 32, it says, when Mary finally got there, she reached the place where Jesus was and saw him. Then she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here. Man, we've heard that before. My brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, circle that in your Bible, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. And they replied. And Jesus himself began weeping. Then the Jews said, see how much he loved him? He really cares, doesn't he? He really cares. Mary finally arrives. She falls down and she's weeping, and so are her friends, and the Lord is moved. I want to take note that they're not crying, they're weeping. You know the difference? They're not crying. There's not like a little something coming down. No, they're weeping. They're wailing. Last service, I asked one of our safety guys, Bernard. I said, Bernard, you ever cried in a movie before? And he's like, no. I don't go to those type of movies. And I said, Bernard, that's probably because you're a crier, isn't it? And he said, no, I just don't like to go to those movies. I don't like to cry. Anybody ever cried in a movie before? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. Like what? Like The Notebook? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Titanic? Yeah, what else? Field of Dreams, Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump, is it? I don't know. Bubba? Is it? I don't know. Last service, someone was right here, dead face. He goes, Star Wars. I was like, bro, Star Wars messed you up? He was like, oh man, Luke. Oh, it's just, how could they? What did you say, Yvette? Crazy rich Asians. Okay. The wedding scene. Okay, context, the wedding scene. Very good. I remember the very first, what did you say, one more? They said Lion King. Bunch of babies. Lion King. Man, okay, all right. I'm gonna give you Lion King. That's good, okay. They can go on and on. I remember the very first movie I cried in. I was 12 years old. Okay, calm down, seriously. It's just like, Terminator. Like, chill. We had our moment. I was 12 years old. I got 8 minutes. Oh, my goodness. My mom took me to go see Rudy. And the story, underdog story, a smaller guy, went to Notre Dame, Fighting Irish, wants to play in the football team, barely makes it. In the end, his coach says, Rudy, you're the toughest guy, you got the best attitude. It's senior night, I'm going to let you come out for one play. Not the game, you come out for one play. He goes, okay, thanks, coach. Well, the coach either gets fired or retires, I don't remember, and there's a new coach, and he doesn't remember the promise that that coach made to Rudy. And so all the players come out, and they lay their jerseys on the coach's desk, and they go, coach, this is for Rudy, I want him to play in my place. And the next person comes out and says, coach, this is for Rudy, I want him to play tonight. Coach, this is for Rudy, and they keep coming out and coming out. So now's the game, and Rudy's dressed. So at least he got the dress for the game, and he's sitting on the sidelines, and it's the very end. The game's almost over. It doesn't matter what happens. I think they win. And one of the guys looks over, and he begins the slow clap. Remember the slow clap? Yeah. Can we do the slow clap? There we go. And he begins to chant, Rudy, 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 Rudy. Help me out. Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. A little faster. Rudy, 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 Rudy. And then here comes Rudy. Ah! Except it's more like this because he's so small. Ah! He's little. He's little. Shout out to little guy. Little kings, short kings. Come on, somebody. And he tackles this big giant, and they all go crazy, and they carry him off the field. And I'm sitting there 12 years old going, what is this emotion right now? That's crying. That's not weeping. They're weeping. They're distraught, and they're wrecked because my brother has died. And Lord, you are the Messiah, but why didn't you do what I asked you to do, what I know you had the power to do it? Doesn't that mess with your mind? Doesn't that just mess with you a little bit? Going, God, you have the power, but why didn't you do it? And they're weeping and weeping, and now Jesus is weeping. Crying and weeping is similar to the difference between sympathy and empathy, where sympathy says, hey, Rudy, I'm sorry they disrespected you. I have sympathy for that situation. Empathy says, man, I know exactly what you're feeling. I feel what you're feeling. And Jesus has empathy with Mary and Martha and the family and friends that have gathered, even though he already knows what he's about to do. Even though he knows death will not win. Even though he knows he has the power, just speaking a word, that Lazarus will come back to life. Even though he knows how it ends, he still weeps. Why does he do that? Because Jesus doesn't just love the testimony that's coming, he loves the hearts that are breaking right in front of him. And if we're not careful, we'll miss it. Here's what Psalm says, Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Before he rescues, he's close. And if we're not careful, we'll run by Jesus as if he's a genie and say, Jesus, give me my three wishes. And we'll run past them for the miracle. He's not a genie, he's a shepherd. And a shepherd wants to be with his sheep, to love them, to care for them, to hold them, to draw them close, to know their name, to make sure you know who I am. He wants to bring the breakthrough. But more than that, he wants to know you personally. Amen. And so when I'm struggling to hold on because it doesn't make sense, God, why wouldn't you do what I asked you to do? We got to remember that before he moves in our situation, he wants to meet you in your pain. He wants to love you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your healer. Here's the third thing, number three. We got to remember he brings life and he also calls us to freedom. He brings life and he also calls us to freedom. I'm struggling to hold on. I remember that delay is often part of his design. He meets us in our pain before he moves in our situation. And number three, that he brings life and he also calls us to freedom. This is important in John chapter 11, verse 43, the end of the story. It says, when he had said all of this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. I have this toilet paper with me, but I'm gonna imagine it's just strips of linen, okay? Now, just go with me here for a second, because Lazarus is alive, but in some ways, he still looks dead. And he's got strips of linen around his feet. He's got it on his back. He's got it on his face. And so maybe he still smells. He's walking out. All right, some of you don't like Halloween, but this is in the Bible anyways. He comes out looking like a mummy, and he's alive, but he still looks dead. And could it be that the reason why your Lazarus story hasn't shifted in the right direction is because although God has fully forgiven you, called you fully loved and fully accepted, and he has called you out of the tomb, out of the old life, you are still walking around in old grave clothes, looking and appearing like a dead person. I got old life, I got old relationships, I got old habits, you got old addictions, you got old people still in your phone, and so you've been called to live a new life, but for whatever reason, even though he called you, you still look like you're living dead. I gotta remember that at some point, I own the fact that I've been fully healed. I own and take responsibility that I'm fully loved, and I make the decision that I'm walking away from the old ways and the old life and the old people that are holding me down. And there is the breakthrough in the Lazarus moment. I gotta hold on. God's doing something. He's doing something in them. He's doing something in me, and he's doing something in my situation. Here's how I wanna end our time. I wanna kinda bring it all together, because this is the part of the story that just wrecked me all week as I was reading it and trying to make sense of the whole thing, is in verse 2. If you have verse 2, can you put that up there? Verse 2. And John is the writer, and John, for a second, takes a big, giant zoom out of the story. And he says, this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Did you know that that's in the next chapter? We're reading chapter 11, reading about a Mary who is distraught and weeping. But right in verse 2 of this same story, John makes mention of her worship that will take place in the next chapter. Why does that matter? Because Mary has experienced the full thing. From chapter 11 to chapter 12. And John, years and years later, after the resurrection, remembers the whole thing. And he's saying, listen, they're walking through a time that doesn't make sense, but I want to give her credit for the worship that will come. She was a worshiper there. She was struggling here. Same person. And so here's what wrecked me this whole week. Here's the challenge for all of us, all of our locations, everybody online. What type of follower of Jesus will you be? Will you only worship in your chapter 12? Or is Jesus still worthy of your worship in chapter 11 when it doesn't make sense? He's worthy now, and he's worthy then. He's worthy of your worship. He's worthy of your life. And so I gotta hold on because he's doing something. And I haven't seen it yet, and maybe you haven't felt it yet. Maybe you don't even have enough faith for it, but can I encourage you? He is doing something even now. Even now today, he wants to move in your story. And so he can worship. You can worship him because he can move in a moment. He can move in a word. And we know he's done it because he did it for them. And what he's done for them, he can do for you.